What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 15th, episode 658. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy Hump Day.
Happy Hump Day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day? Innocuous jibber-jabber.
That's right. Believe it or not, it is Wednesday. And believe it or not, we are in the middle of May already. It does seem like this year has just started, probably not for Jamie. And much to her chagrin, I posted a picture of her pregnant self on Facebook. So, you know, she talks about just having the big belly and nothing else. Well, you can see for yourself because she was at a baseball game the other night. And thanks to her brother, we have a full picture of her for the first time in this pregnancy. You look great.
Now, let me tell you why you're dead to me. Okay. This is why. Because did you really have to think, have to say that you think it looks like I'm going to tip over? Like, I could have fallen down the steps.
It kind of does.
Yeah. That's why you're dead to me.
So if you want to see Jamie, it's on Facebook, unless she decides to delete it. It's there. So hurry up on over to our Horses in the Morning page, and you will find it there.
It's just so saying. Disgusting. It's so disgusting.
It's good. You look cute. Hey, your Brave shirt still fits.
Thank God I had the super extra large one.
Did the Braves win, by the way?
Not only did they win, I've never been to a Diamondbacks Braves game where the Braves have actually won here out in Arizona. And they did not just win, they kicked some butt. It was 10-1 at the end of the game. It was super fun. I'm just going to go off on a tangent here because we ended up, all the Diamondbacks fans left when it was like 8-1. So we ended up getting all the way behind the dugout where the Braves players were. And I ended up sitting with like a ton of Braves fans and it was super fun. It was great. And I slept when I got home for like the next 14 hours. I was exhausted. But it was worth it. Totally worth it.
Well, good. I'm glad you had a good time because that'll be the last game you go to for about 5 years. Let's just say.
Yeah, thanks. No, babies go to baseball games.
Oh,
you can take them there because it doesn't matter if they cry there. It's already loud.
Oh, that's true. You know what? And you don't worry about them getting beer spilled all over them, things?
I don't think so. It's not very rowdy at the Diamondbacks game. My brother actually was watching the game. That's why I sent that picture because they were asking if I was cheering for two. And by the end of the game, he's like, why don't you yell something just yell something out loud and I'll see if I can hear it because it sounds like a library in there. The games in Arizona suck. They're not rowdy at all. And we ended up did yelling stuff and he did hear us through the TV all the way to Georgia.
It's not like going to Boston to watch, huh?
No, not quite like Boston or Chicago or even Atlanta for that matter. This place is quiet.
Well, it's like Florida. Everybody's over the age of 70. You wouldn't want to wake them up.
Yeah, exactly. You stand up to. I've been told. This is the first game, a Diamondbacks game that I've been to that I didn't get in a verbal fight with somebody. I was proud of myself. I was like, let somebody yell at me. I'll turn around with this belly and they'll be like shamed to death. But usually what happens is I'm standing up cheering for the Braves and somebody behind us goes, sit down. I'm like, oh snap, it's on. That's when trouble starts.
Well, Jennifer's on the phone here, so I'll just go over what's coming up on today's show. We have the Wheel of Trivia going to be coming up here shortly, so give us a call at 347-637-3238.
EquityMFG.com, Wheel of Trivia.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And also, we have Victoria from Horse and Country TV with the European Report. We have Lynn Palm stopping by today to talk to us a little bit about her TV show. She got a new season coming up of Palm Partnership Training. And, you know, Lynn lives about 5 miles from us here in Ocala. And then we have Dr. LaBelle joining us again with Michelle Anderson of thehorse.com talking about eye injuries. So it is going to be a jam-packed show we have today, but it looks like we have a caller for Jamie to start the show, so I'm going to take that. This is Kathleen.
Hello. Hey, Glenn. Hey, Jamie. How are you this morning?
Good.
Well, hello, Kathleen. I'm a little nervous as to why you're calling for me.
Well, as you know, I'm with Briar Horses. And, Jamie, you know, I've heard that you're a big Briar fan, and I also have heard that you've been pining for a black caviar model. And we love your show, and we love listening to you. So we wanted to give you a little special gift in honor of your upcoming baby. And we're going to be sending you your very own black caviar model, along with a fantastic picture of black caviar, her trainer, Peter Moody, and her Briar model horse.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
I'm totally serious. Happy baby.
Oh, my gosh. That is an awesome little baby gift. How cool. What a surprise.
Well, it's our pleasure. You're such a good friend to Briar, and we appreciate all your support, and we know you've been pining away for that black caviar model, so we want to make sure you get one.
Oh, man, that is so sweet. You know, my husband is just finally like, is this the way that our room is going to look? Because now I've got Zenyatta along the, we have a fireplace in our room. Zenyatta's on the front, Barbara's on the side, and then Secretariat's on the other side. He's like, Is this our decor? And I'm like,
yes.
Hello, Briars. Oh my gosh! Now black caviar is going in the middle. Yay! Oh,
I know, it's fantastic.
Thank you so very much. That's awesome.
You're so very welcome. Good
I'm
luck
sure,
with
Kathleen,
the baby.
That,
we're eagerly waiting to hear.
I'm sure Kathleen
that
Jamie's house is not the only one decorated all in Briar. She doesn't have
no
that. No. Have you
seriously
heard?
Kathleen,
yeah, go ahead.
If I wasn't married, this house would look like a 12-year-old girl lived here.
Absolutely. Everybody needs a Briar room in their house.
I know. I would have all my rooms as Briar rooms, though.
I wonder who has the most Briars. Do you know?
I don't, but I do know a few collectors who have upwards of 3,000 models.
Oh,
they've been
God.
Collecting since they were children in the 50s and 60s. And back then, we probably didn't make as many as we make now, and they were able to collect every single one. So it's pretty rare to have that many, but there are a few that have a really astonishing archive of Briar models.
Huh.
Wow. Wow. 3,000. I'm going to remind my husband, see, I'm not crazy. I just have, like, I don't know, 40.
It could be much worse. Exactly. I mean, you just have the racing grades.
That's true. Well, Kathleen, that is awesome. Thank you so very much. You just made my day. I just can't even believe it.
You are very welcome. We're thrilled and tickled to give it to you.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Wow.
All right, Glenn.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a nice surprise.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, my gosh. I never win anything.
You won on the wheel, and I didn't even have to spin it. Wait a minute. Let me just spin the wheel for you today. What is Jamie going to win today on the wheel? It's going around and around. Well, there goes the bumper prize. Wait a minute. Jamie wins a Briar.
Woohoo! Black caviar Briar. Man. And a picture with her and Peter Moody. Guy, that's just cool. It's like Christmas.
Well, there you go. Well, that's great. All right. Well, we'll have to make sure. I think I have Kathleen's address, email address. We'll have to make sure we send her off your address, unless she already has it. Maybe you've been in contact with her.
No, I've never talked to a woman in my life. That's so cool. That's just really sweet. Right, well, that's why I love Briar.
I'll send her off your address, so just make sure you get it. Well, cool. And I knew that somebody there listens to the show because we've had I've gotten an email or two in the past. So I think and that started, I think, early on when we first started the show. So because we talk about Briar a lot. Jamie talks about Briar a lot.
Yes. I love my Briar horses.
All right.
And she says that I have the Racing Greats. I also have, like, I don't know, about 50 other ones that are not on total display because, again, I do want to stay married. But all the racing ones are definitely out. Chad's like, which one is that? I'm like, that's Barbara. I mean, gosh, come on. And then he's like, why is this one laying down? I'm like, that's Man of War. He broke his leg.
Well, we will definitely be getting the wheel started here shortly. Jennifer is now lining players up to play on the wheel, so hold on the line. She'll be getting to you to get the lineup done here. In the meantime, we're a little delayed in getting to this. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Robin Donahue, who actually posted a very interesting picture on our Facebook page, and it was off of a previous wheel win. She had won a Troxel helmet, and she said, I haven't been having any luck getting someone to take my picture. So she actually took a picture of her reflection in the front of her highly polished horse trailer. It was like polished like a mirror, and you could see her with her new Troxel helmet, looked very good driving her horse. So thank you, Robin. And by the way, that was no really bad ads trailer she's got there. I have not seen a trailer that clean or polished ever. It was like,
you know, that front part of my trailer is littered with dead bugs.
I know. I know.
She needs to help me. Awesome.
All right, your turn.
Well, I guess it is just a day for presents for me because I made a supplement order from Omega Alpha, and Jeff Grimes, who is the USA sales rep and equine specialist for Omega Alpha, when I got my supplement, he also left a card, and along with a T-shirt and a hat, and I opened up the card and he says, I sent you an extra large temporary shirt, Jamie. The hat is for Chad. And yep, I can fit into this Omega Alpha shirt pregnant. So thank you very much, Jeff. I have one more shirt. I only have like four shirts. So this is fantastic. But it's white and it's really pretty. And I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up. But again, a temporary shirt from Omega Alpha. And Chad gets the hat.
Well, that's great. That's nice of them. That's very nice.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Very
nice. And very shortly, very nice. You can wear it as a nightshirt.
Exactly.
And you know what? Don't worry about that whole having a nice shirt thing, because after the baby starts puking on them on a regular basis, you're not going to have any nice shirts left. Just saying.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
Better not puke on everything.
All right. It is time for this.
Wheel of Trivia! The EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. We need to change that.
Yeah, we need to redo that opener. Well, the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, this is how it's going to work. We're going to ask you a question. You get one answer correct, and I will spin the wheel here on my desk. And which a cat is now rubbing all over. Get off of here. Darn cat. That cat has been causing more trouble lately. We have one crappy prize on the wheel and about $500 worth of cool prizes. We have some new stuff on today's wheel as well. And the crappy prize this week is a large roll of used baler twine. That's right. I don't care what you do with it. Just get it out of here. And the categories, Jamie's going to go over with you here in a minute. If you get the question correct, you will hear the bell ringing like this. And if it is wrong, I have the basketball buzzer. So there you go. That's what happens. What are the categories, Jamie?
All right. The categories are, Glenn, random facts to impress your friends. Of course, when I say that, they're all horse related. Let's be real. Random facts to impress your friends. The second category is, oh, I should have known that. And the next one is horses in the morning, experts only. That is for listeners of our radio show who believe that they know everything about us, our shows. They listen to every single one of them or most of them, and they'd rather answer a question about us as opposed to a horse. So there you go.
I got a question for you. How do you spell, should have known that?
You know, it's just something that I have to feel, Glenn.
Oh, okay.
I feel it. I don't spell it.
Just check.
It's not actually the way Jennifer wrote it down, but so I changed it.
Well, our first caller on the line today, we haven't heard from in a very long time. Probably think since the first week we played the wheel, and she's first in line today. Jackie, good morning.
Hi, Glenn.
How are you?
Jackie, how's it going?
Hi, Jamie. It's good.
Now, did I see that your little baby has turned a year old?
He's 13 months old tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. See, I got it.
I know.
Here's where I'm going to fail, Jackie, is I don't count in months. Like, first of all, whole pregnancy thing, they're like, how many weeks are you? I don't know. I'm 37 weeks. Okay. And then now you're in months, and I just...
I know.
13 months. Okay. Well, happy birthday.
Yes, he's so big. And I will tell you, Jamie, his father is convinced that he won't be into horses, and he keeps insisting he's going to want to play football or wrestle and not ride horses. But let me tell you know what that kid's favorite animal sound to make is? He does a really fantastic whinny.
Does he?
And he also, he does, he, and it's his favorite one. And he also can stay horse. It kind of sounds like horse. But anytime he sees pictures or whatever, he goes, horse. And his favorite book to read is a horse's book.
You're
so
brainwashing that child. You're brainwashing
it. I didn't do it on purpose, Glenn.
Uh-huh.
I haven't even tried that hard, but, you know, boy after his
mom's
heart.
When it's born into you, it's born into you. What are you going to do?
It is. I know. I think it might just have happened. The gene passed on.
That's awesome. Well, cool.
There's hope for boys.
Yeah. Yes, there is hope for boys. I thank God you said that because I'm hoping. I mean, it's going to suck if he doesn't like horses and we've got six in the backyard.
I know.
All right, well, let's get this thing started, Jackie. Random facts to impress your friends. Oh, I should have known that. Or horses in the morning, experts only. What are you going to go?
Oh, man. These are new categories since I've last called in. I think I'm going to have to try random facts to impress your friends. That sounds fun.
Okay, here we go. In what year was the... it's multiple choice, okay? So hang in there.
Okay.
In what year was the Appaloosa Club founded? A, 1889. B, 1905. Or C, 1938.
Ooh, this is going to be a wild guess. 30. I'm going to go with D, 1938.
Very good.
Oh, that was a lucky guess.
Well done, Jackie.
Although she types fast, she might have been able to Google that deck quick. I don't know. Jackie's
sneaky. I'm outside in my yard. Can you hear the birds?
All right. I believe you. All right, let's spin the wheel quick and see what Jackie wins. All right, Jackie, here we go. Got that 5-pound ball of baler twine there. Oh, missed that, so you don't have to worry about that. Oh, you win the Redmond Rock gift pack. And I'll tell you what, your horse is going to love these. I think your horse has probably had Redmond Rock before, if I remember.
He has, and he devoured one of them in like 12 hours.
Well, you're going to have a whole new gift pack coming to you. And you know, a lot of times they put the human salt in there, and now they have seasoning salt and all different kinds of stuff. You never know what you're going to get from Redmond Rock. So it is the free choice mineral supplement that your horse will absolutely love with 60 minerals. It's much better than those white brick salt things. So we're going to make sure that they send out a gift pack to you, Jackie. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Ace is going to love it.
Oh, well, hold on, and Jennifer will get your address. So just hold on. Well, next up, Jamie, we have Colleen in Pennsylvania.
Colleen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. And tell us a little bit. You ride? You have a horse?
I do. I ride, and I actually have three horses. One's a little bit of a senior. He's 23. He's a quarter horse. And then I actually have two young warm blood thoroughbred crosses.
Warm blood thoroughbred crosses, and they're young. That sounds like a lot of work.
Oh, they are.
sounds to me like casts and broken bones is what it sounds like.
Oh, I hope not. I really, really hope not.
Well, let's see. What category would you like to play today? We've got random facts to impress your friends. Oh, I should have known that. Or horses in the morning, experts only.
I'm trying to figure out which one. I called it, and Jen actually told me to ask for kids' questions since I've done so badly in the past. But
okay, we could do that.
The past two times I've called in, I've gotten it wrong, and I'm like, okay, what category can I pick?
I'll give her a kids' question. Give her a kids' question.
Oh, you're kidding me, right? We do have a secret kids' category.
She's from Pennsylvania. I grew up in Pennsylvania. I have to like Colleen.
Well,
okay, first of all, is it Colleen or is it Colleen?
It's Colleen.
Colleen.
See, Glenn. Now,
ask her the question.
Question.
Ask her.
I know. She's from Pennsylvania. You're pronouncing her name wrong. How do you say the word H-O-O-F? How? Thank you! Woo!
Colleen, now you're getting the hardest question that we have. Skip the kids' questions. Okay. Go right to the hardest question that we have.
Okay, I'm ready to hear the buzzer.
It's not Colleen, it's Colleen Glenn. And she says huff, and you said that everybody in Pennsylvania says the word hoof, and you are wrong, my friend.
Colleen, you are expelled from the state of Pennsylvania now. You're not allowed
ever.
Colleen, who asked the questions around here? That would be me. Thank you very much.
Okay,
all right.
I'm going to go with that.
Well, since we do have a secret kids category that we don't even tell anybody, you will get one because you said the word H-O-O-F. Say it again.
Hoof.
Correctly.
Killing me here.
All right. What do you call the tool, Colleen, that you use to clean a horse's hoof?
What?
A hoof pick. Wow,
yeah!
You're showing up. Oh, no. I was just waiting to hear that buzzer again this week.
I can't believe that was the question. You made that question up just because she said hoof the way you like it.
You know what, Glenn? You're going to get fired here. Spin the wheel, baby!
Jeez. Can't believe that.
Happy
surprise
bailing twine.
Oh, probably getting the bailer twine.
You just missed it, actually. It's just one. It's one click away from the bailer twine. So you win. You actually win something that we've never had on the wheel before, and these are super cool. I've seen them, and this company has donated some of them to us. You have won one of the most expensive dandy brushes on the market today. It's called the it's called the KBF 99. Get this: the material is actually made of a material that reduces bacteria and fungus. So as you're brushing the horse, it will actually reduce or kill the bacteria and fungus on a horse so that the horses, when they use these brushes, actually get less skin problems and things like that because of what the material that the bristles are made out of. The material,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it is really cool stuff. And it's a $40 brush. So we are going to be sending you off. What was that?
That'll be good for my 4-year-old that loves to roll in mud.
Yes, and actually they said it's great for that. Any horse that rolls a lot, you know, is prone to getting bacteria and fungus, and these brushes are really made for that. And this is a somewhat stiff one, so it'll be perfect for the mud of Pennsylvania. So congratulations, you're the first one to win
perfect.
One of those. They just came over here
next
to the United
time,
States.
Next time, I promise I'll ask for a regular question.
Next time, say hoof. like you're like you really do. I know you do.
She said it correctly, and she wins the prize. Thank you very much, Colleen.
Yeah.
For calling in.
Hold on, Jennifer.
We'll get your information.
That's great.
Okay.
Huh, that one felt good. That felt good.
Those brushes are cool. They're really cool. All right.
Who's up next?
Glad she won that. She has a lot of big horses. Next up, let's see. Oh, geez, I just lost. Can you help me here? I just lost my screen.
All right, you want me to pick somebody? I don't know what order, but I'll pick somebody.
Yeah, because I just I need to refresh my screen. It just went away.
Okay, we've got Ada from New Jersey. What is up with the New Jersey listeners today? Hello, Ada. How are you?
Very good.
Thank you so much for joining us. I don't know if you have your radio on or your speakers on, but turn those down so we don't get an echo. But how are things in beautiful, sunny New Jersey?
I'm real partially cloudy, but it's a gorgeous day.
Man, I bet this time of year is beautiful up there because you only get like 2 weeks that are gorgeous. And you might think mid-May would be perfect, right?
Yeah, well, we just finished the cold spell, so people are still walking with jackets.
Oh, no kidding. Well, there you go. That's why I don't live there. Listen, what category would you like today? Random facts to impress your friends? Oh, I should have known that. Or horses in the morning, experts only?
I'll take I should have known that.
All right. Here we go. And I don't know if I should have known this one. From what vantage point would you see a horse that was bench-kneed?
From the side.
What was that? I didn't hear it.
From the side.
He said from the side.
Oh, that's wrong.
I'm so sorry. The vantage point would be from the front. I think this falls in the category of this was too hard, Jennifer. Because to me, I don't even know what bench need looks like. I gotta Google that right now. Let's see. Bench need. Oh, yeah, it's all from the front. Sorry.
Well, sorry about that, Ada.
Summer.
Call back again.
Okay.
All right, we'll do. Thanks.
Great, Ada. She's mad at us. I hate it when people get it wrong. It makes me feel bad. Like, I did something wrong. I just read the question. Jeez.
Well, we
all
have
right.
Ingrid next
time
from...
For one more?
I'm not sure where. I think Jennifer typed it wrong because she has JN down here. I don't know where that is.
Oh, that's New Jersey.
Oh, my gosh, another one?
Yep.
Fantastic. Well, do you guys all know each other?
Oh, yes, we do.
Ah, they're a team.
Oh, my goodness. They're a team.
They're kind of telling us we're the, like, three musketeers over here.
I see that. Well, fantastic. Well, what category would you like? Would you like random facts to impress your friend?
I'll do the random facts.
Random facts to impress your friends.
Yes.
All right.
Please give me another one.
I've been told this is the last one. This one I wouldn't have known either. You're just going to have to use common sense.
Okay.
Here we go. How did the Florida Cracker cattlemen get their name?
Well, they have whole
Florida,
festivals.
Wait, can you repeat it? How did the
Cracker cowmen get their name? 5 seconds.
Somebody was riding a horse. I don't know. I have no idea.
Anything about Florida? I'm sorry.
They have whole festivals. They have whole festivals down here for the Florida Crackers. And if you live in Florida, you're very familiar with the Florida Crackers because they were the cattlemen of Florida. And Florida actually has it's like the second largest state for cattle. Which you wouldn't guess, but it's because of the whips they crack actually make a cracking sound, and they carry these whips with them, and they're a little bit different than your average cow, or, you know, bull whip. That's how they got the name, was they were always cracking these whips to get the cattle moving. So,
I wouldn't have known that.
See, you learned something here.
I did. I'm very excited.
Well, the New Jersey contingent's not doing so well today.
But you know what? You just can't take your girl out of New Jersey. We gotta have what is the New Jersey something something, and they'll know the answer because they are Jersey
almost
girls.
Positive.
Is that right?
Almost positive. I can't guarantee anything.
We had a whole.
Well, Ingrid, thank you so much for trying. We do appreciate it.
Thank you, Ingrid.
Thank you.
We had a whole show about Jersey, if you remember right, Jamie.
We did.
Yeah. About a little beach community in New Jersey.
Oh, that show.
Yeah.
I think we had a show. Yeah, they don't want to own up to Jersey girls. Remember last time we talked to them about that show with the Jersey people on the beach? They said they're all actually from New York.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they were very upset about that. And I've heard that from other Jersey girls, too. Well, that's it. That's all we have time for. I'm sorry, everybody, but we got a little behind because of the call from Briar. Now Jennifer is telling us in our little chat here that she talked to Kathleen at Briar after we got hung up with her, and they are going to donate some Briars for next week's Wheel of Trivia.
Nice!
So that's cool.
You.
Yes. So we're going to add Briars to next week's Wheel of Trivia. So that's very exciting. Well, thank you, everybody that called in. I'm sorry we didn't get to you. Please give us a call back next week, and hopefully you'll be a little... Hopefully you can get ahead of the New Jersey girls. We're going to have to come up with a name for them. A nickname or something.
Yeah. They all called, like, super early, right at the same time, I guess. So, well, we do appreciate you guys calling in. And next week, I'll make sure the questions are not so hard.
And let's give a thank you to EquityMFG.com for being the sponsor for the Wheel of Trivia. Of course, they have the best manure forks out there. We absolutely love them. Jamie uses them. I use them. And about four of the other hosts on the Horse Radio Network swear by them. I was out cleaning the paddocks yesterday, and I'll tell you what, there is not another fork than the Flexen fork that I would want to use to clean paddocks with grass in them, because they actually have a suspension system built into to the tines, and it just works. Any other manure fork, you get splattered, it doesn't work, they get stuck. Doesn't happen with the Equity.
And they don't break.
That's right. They don't break.
Now,
every time we say that,
he
writes to me, the owner of the company writes to me and says, you know, you can't say they never break because they can break. I said, we have tried everything to break these, and we haven't been able to break them yet.
I ran over it with my gator.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was fine. So there you go. Just you can't use those ones anymore that have one little tine broken. I know they're a little bit more, but it's totally worth it. You get what you pay for, and you pay a little more, and you get something better. So EquityMFG.com. Check it out. Go ahead and get one of those.
That's very good. Well, next up, we are going to Victoria from Horse and Country TV. Here we go.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And that music means that Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV is on the phone. How are you, my darling? Victoria.
Hello, how are you both?
Fantastic. Now, I've got to ask, are you nervous?
I am very nervous, and as soon as I'm finished my radio show today, I am going to go cross-country schooling, and it's just started to pour with rain, so it's not great. Never mind.
Now, tell everybody why you would possibly be nervous. It's a huge weekend for you.
It is. I'm taking my little X-race horse to to our first event. He's been twice already this season with my yard manager. And so she's taken him and gone around two classes of the same height that I'll be jumping on Sunday. And so now I know that he can do it. You'd think that would fill me with confidence, but actually now I just think, well, he'll be fine, but what about me? What if I make it worse for him? So a little bit nervous, because I've done loads and loads of dressage and show jumping over the years, but I haven't really done much cross-country since I was a teenager, so it's been quite a while, I'm afraid.
Oh, you're going to do awesome. I can't wait to see the updates on Facebook and also to talk to you about it next week. And we're going to get a play-by-play action next week, okay?
Okay. Hopefully it won't involve me falling off at the first bend.
Well, just remember, if you're running cross country, get your shoulders back and legs tight. Okay, go into each jump. Balance, jump, and gallop. Balance, jump, and gallop. Okay, and then shoulders back, legs tight. Sit there, be ready. You can
that
do
sounds
it.
Good. Thank you. I feel inspired.
Well, what is happening on Horse and Country TV?
Well, we're still recovering from a very busy badminton, but things are just carrying on as normal. We just published a story on our news pages today about Andrew Nicholson, who's gone to Chatsworth, which is a big three-star event here in Britain, and he won 3 out of 4 classes, so that's just ridiculous. The man is unstoppable.
Wow.
Nobody wins 3 classes in one event. It's just a bit greedy, really.
It sure is. Now, was Michael Young at this as well? Was he at this horse trial?
I don't think so. I think he's had enough of Britain for a little while. with our evil final fantasy. So, yes, that's eventing's continuing as normal. And the other big thing we've had this week is the Royal Windsor Horse Show, which is basically the Queen's back garden at Windsor Castle. She opens it once a year and has a huge big horse show. And it was brilliant. And there was lots of show jumping and showing and a really good few days. But there was a bit of a kind of upset when a protester decided to try and disrupt a presentation. So that was a little bit of a shocking moment for the horse world.
Now, I, looking at the photo that you guys have on horseandcountry.tv, when you look at the title of the article is Protester Disrupts Royal Windsor Horse Show. I don't know. I mean, I only know a few things about Bahrain, and basically, you look at the picture of the Queen, and she is surrounded by the King of Bahrain and Prince Andrew, and it looks shady to me. Why is she hanging out with those guys?
I'm not sure about it. She was given a couple of horses by the King of Bahrain, and so that's what the connection was, and he was sponsoring the first ever FEI endurance race that was part of the show. And so he was very much involved, and somebody from Bahrain decided to come in with a placard saying, Your Majesty, the Queen, stopped supporting the dictator of Bahrain. And you just don't normally get that kind of politics involved in horses.
You know what, Victoria, though? If that was in the United States and it happened here, the guy would have been naked. So
yeah, I'm not sure Royal Windsor kind of goes with streaking. It's quite civilized. It's so bizarre though, because remember I went a couple of years ago and I was reporting for an equestrian magazine, and I was watching the showing classes, and I knew that the Queen had ponies entered, and she has lots of native ponies, so like Highland ponies and Fells and Dales. And we were just sitting there, and me and my non-horsey friend who was keeping me company, and suddenly we were surrounded by paparazzi. And my friend was like, what's going on? And I looked up, and I thought, oh, it's just the Queen. And she just wanders around the show with a couple of bodyguards who will be dressed in tweed jackets, so not exactly looking very kind of MI5. And she just, her and the Duke of Edinburgh just wander around the show, and it's really quite bizarre to get so up close to royalty.
That's really cool. I love that she does. I love her passion for horses. The only thing I know about Bahrain was it's where Michael Jackson fled after he got on all his trouble here. And their laws are a little different over there when it comes to the stuff he was getting in trouble for. So that just always scares me a little bit. But maybe it's just all about the horses. All about the horses. All right. So what else has happened over there? I know that you had Charlotte Desjardins. I don't know how to say her last name. I don't say it right. I swear that girl looks 12 years old.
She must be 27 now, so she's getting a little bit older. And she has had a bit of a horse swap with Carl Hester. And both Carl and Charlotte's horses are for sale. And Carl announced in December that was it. He wasn't going to compete Utopia again. And
I think they're just basically waiting for a sale to go through. I don't really understand what the delay is. But he's kind of said, that's it, you know, that's my last ever ride. But he still has the horse. And so last week they went across, or just around Badminton weekend, they went to an event in France. And so Charlotte rode Utopia instead. And after one kind of slightly sticky test, they got their mojo together and ended up winning everything.
Are you really? This horse is just so beautiful. So is she going to buy the horse or what?
No, so they're based together. And Carl owns Charlotte's horse, Bellegro, the one that she won Olympic gold on. And he's also for sale, but at the moment he's still at the yard. And so Utopia belongs to Carl, but he's been letting Charlotte ride him instead. So she's just working her way around the Olympic team, really, and getting to ride all the horses.
Not a bad day.
No.
Not a bad... let's see, which Olympic mount should I ride today?
It's very nice of Carl, though, to not only give her the ride on Bellegro, who Charlotte's been riding him since he was quite a young horse, but then just go, oh yeah, you can have my other Olympic horse as well. And so off she goes and wins on him instead.
Wow, that's really cool. You know you're screwed when you see their names in your class. Like, you're like, oh, who's in my class? Who am I competing against? Oh my God, Utopia,
yeah.
Charlotte... Seriously, I'll just scratch. Maybe you'll have better luck this weekend. So one thing I want to touch base before we let you go is you guys have another one of the categories on your webpage and horseandcountry.tv to where you can submit if you have an unusually colored horse. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, so we decided that we'd start up a new photo gallery because we love getting all our users' pictures sent in. And we started it on Friday. And just, you know, less than a week later, we've got about 5 pages of pictures of coloured horses and ponies. So we have everything from skewballs and piebalds to roans and palominos and fleabits and greys, even basically anything that's not your bog standard chestnut or bay we've got on this page, and everyone's getting very excited about it and rating them all. So if you have a colored horse, then do upload the picture.
Yeah, and they've even got the first colored racehorse. That sounds racist, I'm sorry. The first colored racehorse.
It is. I mean, basically, because you guys tend to say sort of Tobiana, don't you? You tend to like use technical terms, but we basically have, like, coloured showing is a huge, huge thing here, and it basically just covers everything skewbald and piebald. But yes, it does. It can sound quite strange when you're talking about horses, and then somebody non-horsey overhears might wonder
yeah.
what on earth you're talking about. But in Britain, it's a very, very commonly used term to describe skewbald and piebald. And yes, he is the first coloured racehorse to be placed. There's 3 in training, I think, in Britain at the moment, and he's the only one that's actually been moderately successful.
That's great. Well, you can find those on Horse and Country TV. Yeah, lots of, we call them basically paints or pintos here, or, you know, Tobianos or Overos. Most of the ones it seems like you guys have, we would consider Tobianos.
Yeah, that's the common one that the common sort of markings we have over here.
Yeah, well, cool. Thank you so much, Victoria. Horseandcountry.tv is where you can find it. And oh my gosh, I wish you the best of luck this weekend. I can't wait to like keep us posted on Facebook on how it's going.
I will try. Thank you very much.
All right, talk to you soon.
Cheers, thanks.
I love it. I can't wait to find out what's going to happen. Her first event. It's so exciting. I guess she did all her shopping.
Yes, I'm nervous for her.
Well,
you know, I think it's very exciting.
Well, cool.
Well,
why don't we go ahead and play the song
before we get Lynn Palm
on.
We're going to take a little break for a commercial. We're also going to play a song. This time we had a listener request, and that was from Uta, who requested I Miss John Wayne by Dan Roberts. So we're going to play that for her today. If you would like to request, just post on Facebook, and we'll be happy to place. If we can play the song, we will. So we'll be right back after this.
Glenn the Geek here. You know, I get asked all the time by horse people, I want to build my own website. What service should I use? Well, there's only one service I recommend without hesitation, and that is Squarespace.com. If you're looking to build a website for your horse farm, training business, boarding stable, or personal rider page, or maybe even a blog, and you want to do it yourself and end up with a professional-looking website, then there's only one place to go, Squarespace. Squarespace makes it easy with one of the simplest do-it-yourself interfaces available. You choose the theme you like, and then you just drag and drop the elements you want into that theme and start adding your pictures and content, and off you go. Plus, they give you 15 days to try it with no strings. They don't even ask for your credit card. If you sell things, they even have an e-commerce solution. Plus, your new website will integrate with Facebook and Twitter like a dream. I've been using this company for years and have recommended it to dozens of horse people. No matter what your skill level, Squarespace is for you. Give it a try for 15 days free by going to horseradionetwork.com and clicking on the Squarespace banner on the right side of the page. Horseradionetwork.com. Click on the Squarespace banner on the right side of the page.
Been looking for something that's missing in our world, and I wonder if my search is all in vain. Where's the good guys? Where's the bad guys? Where's law and justice gone? Lord, how I miss John Wayne. All alone in the saddle with guns blazing in each hand, with truth grit in his teeth he held the reins. He charged hard into battle where a lesser man he would have run. Lord, how I miss John Wayne. He never backed down from a job that he had to do, and he could cross the line from talking with a clenched fist attitude. He knew right was right, wrong was wrong, but today they seem the same. Oh Lord, how I miss John Wayne. Thought I'd see the day that his time has come and gone, and now a man's man he's looked upon with shame. What we're needing in this world today is men with the guts to back up what they say. Lord, how I miss John Wayne. He never backed down from a job that he had to do, and he could cross the line from talking with a clenched fist attitude. He knew right was right, wrong was wrong, but today they seem the same. Oh Lord, how I miss John Wayne.
Well, there have been a lot of cowboys who have come and gone. Men like Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, Johnny Mack Brown, Dex Ritter, Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys, Jimmy Stewart, Bob Nolan, Cisco Kid, Tom Mix, Buck Jones, old Walter Brennan, Bob Steele, Ray Reed, Bob Crosby, Hopalong Cassidy, Gabby Hayes, Ben Johnson, of course, old Louis L'Amour. They're all cowboy heroes, and in many ways, they're the same. But Lord, how I miss John Wayne.
Well, that was Dan Roberts, I Miss John Wayne, and that was thanks to a request by our listener, Uta. And if you have your own request, just post it on Facebook, and we'd be happy to play it for you here on the show. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is here today. And we are going to have a terrific segment coming up next with an old friend of the Horse Radio Network and a regular guest, and we're happy to have her back, and that is Lynn Palm, who has a new season coming up on HRTV. Good morning, Lynn.
Thanks so much. Good morning to everybody. I'm just as excited to be here with you as well.
Well, terrific. Now,
are you
here in
Good.
Florida, or are you traveling the country right now?
In Florida with beautiful weather, no humidity, all the doors on my house and windows open, and just loving riding horses.
Well, terrific. Well, now you
and it's beautiful green out as well.
You've had this TV show for quite a while, haven't you?
Yes, we have. But the new series is we've got some shows that are real different than has been seen on TV before, the subjects, and we're really excited about it and getting a lot of feedback from the viewership that we're just really, really proud of.
Well, terrific. Tell us a little bit about it. Now, it's called Palm Partnership Training. So what's coming up this year?
Well, in Palm Partnership Training, this year we've got four different subjects throughout the year, which makes it very interesting. And the one which is really one of my favorites, that for people that are really looking for good training tips to make them become better riders, we're mirroring a clinic outline that we did at the World Equestrian Games, my husband and I. And we let the horse be the teacher of the clinic, which is really fun because the two parts that are great is that when we showed some very common challenges that riders have learning how to ride well, all of our common challenges and mistakes that we make, we mocked them, and we saw such a difference in the horse's attitude, his responses, whether they were willing or resisting. And then we did things very correct in riding, and you could see such a difference in the horse. It was really fun. So that's got some wonderful, wonderful training tips on the three fundamentals that we teach at Palm Partnership Training. It's all about rider's position, which means balance. And second, it's all about communication with the horse, with clear and consistent cues and to the horse's education and what he needs. Third is how to put the horse in balance to do something, just like your own position, which means controlling the horse's body alignment. And that's the fundamental for riding. If you got fundamentals for any sport, this is one that those fundamentals we never quit practicing. As much as you want to advance in whatever direction, multidiscipline you want to do, or any breed of horse.
Well, yeah,
and the best part, I just want to end, it's all based on dressage principles.
Well, I was just going to say that. I was just going to say, you know, people think of Lynn Palm, and it's funny that we had the I Miss John Wayne song right before you came on. I was thinking about that because a lot of people think about you in a Western saddle, but I've seen you ride English as well, so it's not...
Yes, and I grew up in the English saddle, the dressage saddle, and I rode hunt seat and I rode Western, and I really don't ride any different in those saddles or what breed of horse I ride. So that's where the dressage, I think, and especially a message which is so popular today is dressage, but an Olympic discipline, but also Western dressage is the next big fad that we're seeing that people are so interested in, and it's all about riding well, it's all about natural horsemanship, and it's certainly all about the well-being of the horse. That it's our responsibility that he's happy in his work, that he's not resisting us in his work. So that's the fun part.
Question for you, Lynn, about the positioning. I teach English writing lessons, and I'm pretty strict on getting the position correct.
Yeah,
but
we have
people
to
come by. Well, yeah, they come by and they ask me all the time, "Do you teach Western lessons?" And I don't feel comfortable because I don't really know the cues and aids and positioning for Western.
But why should they be different than English? They shouldn't be different than English.
I didn't think it would work. I mean,
it will. Just try it. Get you one rider and you try it and teach him in a Western saddle with a little longer stirrup. That's all. And in a full sitting position, not a hunter seat or 2-point or 3-point position, you know, inclined forward for your gallop or your over fences. But in a sitting position, excuse my dog's barking.
We love that.
I know. And they're my friends. Stop it. And balance, it's all about balance. Balance in all disciplines. It's amazing. My first thing when I teach riders, in fact, I'm going to a clinic this weekend, and it's all new riders. And when I just emphasize the first session on correctness of position and help improve people, the horses, the problems they want to work on and the challenges they want to work on, there are horses that are already improved with it. It's amazing.
Really? Even in reining sometimes, like to me, it looks like their cues are a little bit different than what you would think of, you know, your heel underneath your hip. And a lot of times they get their feet out in front of them a little bit more. Is that, am I watching people ride reining incorrectly, or is it just a little different?
Well, you know, in each discipline, you might have a variance of a position for a particular, you know, thing that they're doing, for instance. I'm going to relate it to cutting, okay? Believe me, if I don't have my feet in front of me and pushing forward on that horn, when that horse cuts the cow, I'm going to get out of position.
Right.
So a lot of times in reining, I know in the stop, and I rode with Tim McQuay, Doug Milholland, Bob Loomis, Bobby Avila. You watch those guys go down and start to do a stop. It's just like you can imagine the same thing in a dressage saddle. Their legs are underneath them, but their legs are going to move forward as the horse is sliding in a stop, so they don't lose their balance forward.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
gotcha.
So it's the cues are it's universal. I mean, there's a natural way to cue the horse. It's with our seat, our legs, and our hands. And our leg aids work on controlling from the wither to the top of the tail. The rein aids control from the pole to the wither.
Well,
and, you know, it should be universal for any breed of horse or any riding discipline.
Well,
and
you sure have been an inspiration to a whole lot of people.
So.
Western
really,
English.
And that's why I love the dressage. And it is, dressage is a French word that means training. Well, it's training the horse to teach him naturally how to do things, so he does it willingly through his behaviors and habits and his breed characteristics for the performance to function that he should be doing. And it's all about the rider being in balance and communicating with that horse in the way that you can communicate with him, and that's through the seat, legs, and hands.
And I know one of the
So that's where the similarities come together.
I know one of the things that you spend some time on now, too, doing clinics for that's very popular right now is the trail challenges.
I know.
Whether it's, you know, it's whether
about
it's ACTHA
it.
Or AQHA or what, you know,
absolutely.
Whoever it is, that has become very popular. And, you know, balance is so important in that.
Yep. And you know what?
Sport.
I have to tell you, and I have to compliment the people that I did meet at ACTHA when they did, I think it was 2 years ago now, and they did the big challenge for everybody around the country
to
come to a meet and have a competition, and they made a wonderful TV series out of it. And I remember the first day there, and I remember watching, and there was a beautiful field, a grass field in front of the clubhouse that we're at a beautiful ranch, and I was looking out the window, and Monty Roberts was there, and we were talking, and we were watching the riders ride their horses. And every one of those riders were doing everything they could to ride well so their horses partnered with them and did things easy and willingly. And that's the Western riding I want to promote. That's what dressage principles or Western dressage should always promote, those good ethics of horsemanship, period. And that's where the influence that I learned to ride is up to us to make the horse willing to what we want him to do, not fix the horse. And he's got the problems and the challenges that we got to fix on them.
Well, where can people...
So in other words, we improve riders to improve their responses, their training, educating their own horses.
Where can people find out the schedule so they can watch the show?
Well, the schedule is on... our show's on, you know, of course, the 404 channel on Dish Network, Tuesdays, 7:30 Eastern Time, and or, of course, online at hrtv.com. And now, I have three other subjects I need to mention, too, just quickly, but okay. We have one, a great blacksmith, all about good fundamentals on hoof care. Another one on lateral training. These are for your more advanced riders and horses, and if you want to work more with collection of your horse, the lateral training that you can teach an English or Western horse, the exact same movements, but it's necessary for correct collection and developing the horse. And then my favorite one, and we're going to do more of this, a day at the farm with myself, my husband Cyril, and Marie Francis, who we're the team players of the Palm Partnership training. So it starts out with us in the morning with our horses and what our daily life is here on the farm, and we had a blast doing that show. So I hope everybody likes it, because we'd like to do more about that and let people kind of walk into our home and be part of our training day and get something out of it.
I see a reality show coming soon.
You know, oh, yeah.
Duck Dynasty, you know, 10 million
well,
viewers
fun.
Every week.
Yeah, and it can be inspirational, and it's a lot of fun, and people get to see another side of somebody that wants to share their knowledge with people. You get to see more of a personality and who you are and why you're doing this and, you know, with this horse, and you know, it's just the interaction is really fun, and people love it.
Well, if we're going to do a reality show, Lynn, we have to add drama in there. There has to be some drama, or it's not going to sell. So
Listen, we'll have the drama right out on our natural obstacle course.
Okay.
No problem.
Thank you, Lynn. It's lynnpalm.com. Thank you so much for joining us again. Good to talk
to you. Oh, thank you guys, too. My pleasure.
Right. Bye-bye.
Look forward to the next time.
Well, she has a beautiful place. It's right over here, not too far from where we live, and it is a beautiful farm. It is really a beautiful place.
Do you stalk her on a regular basis because she's Lynn Palm?
Have you seen her? Have you seen her mode of transportation to her clinics?
No. What is it?
She has one of the big buses, completely wrapped with all the fancy everything. You know, trailers and buses. And, yeah, Lynn does okay.
The one you see coming down the freeway, huh?
Yes, no problem. You'll see her when she shows up. You know Lynn's there because she has the bus everybody wants to travel in when going to shows and clinics.
Cool. That's awesome.
I have bus envy.
That's what she said.
All right, it is that time of the week on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
And we have Michelle with us of thehorse.com. Good morning, Michelle.
Hey, good morning, Glenn.
How are you?
I am good. How are you doing?
Okay. Well, Jennifer said that our guest is going to be a minute or two here. So what's going on over at thehorse.com that we can talk about?
Oh, let's see. What is going on? It seems like lots of stuff. There's always lots of stuff. We just posted our Dream Barn slideshow. I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look
yes,
at that.
Yes, and it makes you ill with envy. it's just like, okay, I could live in most of these barns. I wouldn't have to have a
yeah.
house.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, the one, because there's a couple farms that are featured in it, and two of them are Oregon barns, because I'm in Oregon, and the one I went to and I took photos, and it was pretty amazing. Terry Emmerich is the dressage trainer out of the barn. It's east or west of Portland, and this place had a full commercial kitchen, full upstairs kitchen, full entertainment room, and you guys didn't see all that stuff because we really wanted to focus on the things in the barn that made horses healthier and safer and helped with management of the facility. So we didn't show the human stuff. So the multiple showers. Any way that you walked out of a tack room area, there was a place to stop and take a shower as you, so you could get cleaned up and head into the city for work.
This was a horse husband's dream barn, in other words.
Yes. Are you saying that you'd like us to shower before we come home?
Yeah, that, and maybe wash the clothes at the barn, you know. But then the horse husband could also come to the TV room and just hang out. Sounds great.
Yeah, and the TV, like, it was a huge, huge flat screen TV, and the owners of the facility have a bunch of grandkids, so they have a full, like, music area in the viewing room, and bunks. So they had 11 bunk beds for all the grandkids to come hang out. Pretty incredible. And then the property was beautiful. Picnic areas. It was pretty amazing. And then the other farm in there also from Oregon was Wild Turkey Farm. And Mary Cornelius took those photos. She's an amazing photographer who does sport horse stuff. And she got the privilege of going to that facility and taking photos of it for them. And amazing, amazing stuff. Everything that a pampered horse could want.
Yeah, I was looking at some of those pictures, and it was like, oh, my God, I can't believe there's actually barns like this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and you only saw a fraction of it. And we're really fortunate. In Portland area especially, we have some really gorgeous barns. Here in Central Oregon, we do, too. People do it up. They do it upright. And my barn is
an unsighted
right? shed. It's an unsighted shed and two run-ins.
There you go. Well, see, that's the real world, actually, is when you come down to it, Michelle. Well, your guest is ready now.
Okay. Is Dr. Lavelle here?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for joining us. This is Dr. Amber Lavelle. She's a board-certified ophthalmologist, and she was here before with Stephanie to talk about equine vision. But today we wanted to talk about something that's kind of serious, equine eye injuries and disease. And I don't know, Jamie and Glenn, how often you've gone out and found a horse with a winking eye or its eyelashes sticking down towards the ground, but it's not good.
Yeah, and I think all of us have had that experience of having to do the eye flushing every 2 hours all day and all night. You know, we've all had that experience before. And if you haven't, let's hope you don't, because it's kind of a pain. Plus, you know, there's nothing grosser than serious eye injury. So I'll be bailing out here and going to do something
else. Okay, see you, Glenn.
No, you won't. You're stuck here, Glenn. You better pay attention.
The only reason I'm staying...
in your backyard too.
The only reason I'm staying is Dr. LaBelle's so much fun. That's the only reason I'm staying.
Oh, good.
Oh, Glenn, you're just waiting for me to say eye boogers again, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, yeah, I know. I remember that from the last time, too.
Ew. So, Dr. Lavelle, let's start off with eye injuries. So what are some of the common eye injuries that a horse owner might come across?
Well, so the first thing that we need to know about horses is that they're a prey species. And so when a horse is startled or frightened or feels threatened, their first instinct is to run away first and to ask questions later. And unfortunately, that fight or flight instinct gets them into a lot of trouble and unfortunately can put their bodies and their eyes at risk as they're trying to flee what they perceive as a dangerous situation. Sometimes they leave parts of their eyes behind when they do that. Mm-hmm. So any sort of sharp object in the horse's environment is at risk of causing trauma, whether that's trauma to a leg or to a joint or trauma to an eye. So one really easy thing that horse owners can do to help decrease the chances that their horses are going to have eye trauma is to walk around the horse's environment, get in their stall, look at everything in their stall, run your hands over the boards in the stall, make sure there aren't nails or hooks sticking out. One really common culprit for eyelid lacerations is actually the hooks on the edge of your bucket. And a really, really easy thing for horse owners to do is to take some duct tape or some electric tape. You can even make it in fun colors if you want, and wrap around those hooks on your bucket so there's no chance that your horse can catch an edge of an eyelid on the edge of those buckets. And that's such a simple thing for people to do that can really decrease eye trauma.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, if there's something that they can catch their eye on, they will find it.
Absolutely. So, you know, look in your barn aisle. Make sure when your horse is on cross ties that they have a quick release snap on the cross ties. I've seen a couple horses with really, really nasty blunt trauma to their eyes from things like cross ties snapping and then whacking the horse in the eye. So making sure you got quick release snaps on those.
I have a question. And
yeah,
this has been an argument. This has been an argument at many barns that I have boarded at. Do you put the quick release because they come with?
Oh, I know where you're going, Jamie.
And quick release end. Do you put the quick release end on the horse, or do you put it on the one that's attached to the wall? Because is it easier to grab one or the other, and then you got one flipping around? What is the answer?
You know, in my experience, they don't generally break both sides at the same time. They generally break one or the other. So actually, the safest thing to do is quick release on the halter side. And even safer than that is to take two strands of baling twine and connect your cross tie to that quick release snap. Because honestly, the point of least resistance is actually that baling twine. That is often what breaks most under duress. And then your quick release will break second to that. So that way, the horse is free of that piece. It's going to fling away from the horse's face. But the horse is usually still attached by the other cross tie, so you can grab onto that, get them quickly disconnected, and calm the horse down.
Okay, so quick release part on the halter and then baling twine up by the wall.
Correct, correct.
Okay, then I got it right.
Yeah. Good job. Pony Club would be proud of you guys. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
We ask the hard questions.
Yeah, but they're important hard questions.
But the thing is,
they are.
You know,
that's one. I've had that same conversation in several barns, too. Which side does this go on? Then everyone, yes, so. Great question,
like,
Jamie.
You can grab both, you guys.
No matter what. No matter how safe you try and make your barn, you could wrap your horse in bubble wrap if you wanted to, and all your horse is going to do is eat that bubble wrap and then end up colicking. You know, you can do everything you can do to make it as safe as possible, but short of putting them in some sort of hermetically sealed chamber somewhere, horses are going to find a way to hurt themselves. So I think we also need to tell all our horse owners out there, look, you can't feel too guilty. No matter how safe you are, no matter how many precautions you take, horses find ways to hurt themselves. And so, you know, the front end problem is doing everything you can do to prevent trauma. But I think equally important to that is knowing how to recognize signs of eye trauma so that when you see those, you know how to act appropriately.
Yeah. So what should a horse owner do when they go out there? Well, what are some of the clinical signs they're going to see that their horse has an injury? Because it's usually pretty obvious, or maybe it's not.
Right. Well, here's the thing. The eye is pretty much a one-trick pony. It doesn't have very many ways of telling you that it's been injured. The hallmarks of eye injury in horses are squinting. Now, I use the word squinting because I'm a doctor, but other words that people use to describe squinting include drooping of the eyelid or fluttering of the eyelashes or noticing the eyelashes are pointing down. And the best way to figure out whether or not your horse is squinting is to stand right straight in front of them. Right straight in front of them where Pony Club tells you never, never, never stand because you could get hurt. Standing there allows you to look at both sides of their face and allows you to assess symmetry from side to side. So if you notice one eye is wide open and those eyelashes are nice and parallel to the ground, but on the other side, the eyelid is droopy and the eyelashes are tilted towards the ground, that's the side that's having the problem. So just learning to recognize signs of not even really obvious squinting, but sometimes subtle squinting is an important first step for recognizing that there's been some kind of eye disease.
Okay.
Also,
so you go
things
out...
like... No, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think you have more to add.
Well, you're right. So you go out and you see your horse with squinting. Other things that you may notice, Glenn's favorite clinical sign, eye boogers. So eye boogers come in lots of different flavors. Sometimes it just looks like clear tears running down their face. Sometimes you get really nasty boogers in all sorts of rainbow colors. Any sort of discharge coming out of the eye is not
normal. Can we rephrase that and not use the word flavors, though?
Yeah, I'm with Glenn on that one.
Yeah, that was just, she just does this to drive me nuts. I know you, Dr. Lavelle.
It's all for you, Glenn. All for you.
I know.
Now, a question for you about
horse owner.
Well, let me ask a question about that. In one of the flavors is a flavor of I booger yesterday. Seemed like one of my students brought her horses over, her horse over, and it's really dusty here in Arizona, and we all keep fly masks on our horse all the time. But her horse, when I pulled the fly mask off, had some yellow goop like right at the corner of the eye and some runny liquid going down the eye, but the nose was not plugged up. You know what I mean? Like it was still dripping a little bit out of that pore down at the bottom, the nasal lacrimal duct. But the horse wasn't squinting. There was no scratch or anything. What would you do for something like that, where there, you can tell there's no scratch? It's not really squinting, but it is goopy.
So eye goop that you have to clean out more than once or twice a day is too much eye goop. So I always try and give every horse the benefit of the doubt. If they come in from the paddock and they've got a little bit of eye boogers, but they're not squinting, there's no cloudiness in their eye, they're otherwise completely normal, it's okay to wipe it away and watch them and see what they do. But if they're having eye boogers along with any other sign of an eye problem, any squinting, any cloudiness of the eye, any change in their vision or any redness, that's a horse that needs to be seen by a veterinarian that day. Does that make sense, the difference between those two scenarios?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm certainly one that if there's anything with the eye, you got to call. It don't put any of your own medicine in it that you have from the last time the vet came out, because it could be totally different. But yeah, this was just curious about, did they get goop and just kind of, you know, just because, and it, you can wipe it away and it's fine.
Horses can definitely get goop just because, and it is totally okay if they don't have any other signs to wipe it away and watch them and see what they do. But if they've got other signs or if that goop comes back, then they need to be seen by a veterinarian. That's a really good question, because I think that's a common scenario, and you're totally right. It can just be some environmental irritant, especially in a place where it's really dusty, or, you know, when allergy season is going. You know, horses are susceptible to those things just like we are. I don't know about you guys, but I'm having a wicked bad allergies right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jamie brought up a really good point about the fly mask. So how often should we be taking our fly masks off to check our horse's eyes underneath them?
Oh, I love that you asked that question. Fly masks need to come off at least once a day. At least once a day, you need to take your horse's fly mask off and look at both of their eyes and look at their face. You never know. They could have cut their forehead underneath there too, right?
Mm-hmm. And okay, so here's another question that I've come across too. Can the horses wear the fly masks at night?
Horses can wear fly masks at night. That's a good question. So wearing a fly mask is like wearing sunglasses, sort of our horsey equivalent of sunglasses. So they can wear them at night. But just like you wearing sunglasses at night, it does somewhat decrease their vision. Now, we know that horses have better vision in dim light than people do, because they've got more cells for sensing dim lighting conditions than people do. That being said, you're still decreasing their vision somewhat in the evening hours. So I would say if they're turned out overnight, probably better that they go out without a fly mask on, with the exception of if you're in an area with really bad insects and you find that they're getting a lot of fly strike, a lot of irritation around their eyes from insects, then putting on sort of the lightest weight mesh fly mask that you can find might actually be healthier for your horse.
Okay. Thank you for answering that question.
What's funny is, Michelle, I've never even thought about they couldn't see as well at night. I leave them on typically because right now it's 7:15 in the morning here and I still haven't seen my horses. Mm-hmm. I take them off every day. I check them and then usually I let them, I take them off so they eat their dinner and then I put them on and they go back outside with it, because at about 6 o'clock the sun's up and their flies are bothering them. So I never thought I should take them off at night. But I think that it answers the question with the flies. Really get heavy early in the morning here, so I think I'm doing the right thing, I guess.
It's one of those that I've come across at different barns. You know, everyone always has different opinions on horse management, and yeah, I mean, That seems like a great reason to have them on. I've always been worried about my horses running into things with a fly mask on, but I have had horses that I have, like you, Jamie, left the mask on at night.
That brings up a really good point, too, that, you know, we've got listeners who are in some really pretty geographically diverse areas. You know, Oregon looks a lot different than Arizona, looks a lot different than where I am here in central Illinois. So you got to know your climate, you got to know your environment, because what works in one climate and humidity and insect population may not work in another population.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Jamie has a lot of horses to manage. I have horses at home to manage. Like you've already mentioned, Dr. Liddell, we all try our very best to do what's best for our horses. There are a lot of work out there. It's a lot of work to have the horses out there.
Yeah, they are.
Yep, and I go from being a slave to blankets to being a slave to fly masks. So I never get any time off from dressing.
I know, right?
Horses.
I think so. There's one magical week that you get the break. I'm like, oh my God, I don't have to put anything on any of them. And now we're done.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, if Glenn is listening, one of the best things a horse husband can do is come in on a Saturday morning and say, the horses are fed and their blankets are off. It's magic.
Oh, that's good. That's really sexy. That's really sexy.
So, Dr. Liddell, you go out and your horse has its eye shut. There's swelling. There's eye boogers. You should immediately call your vet. You do. What is your vet going to do to examine that eye?
That's a great question. So I love that you said call your veterinarian right away. And I think that we need to repeat that point one more time. Call your veterinarian right away. Don't flush the eye out. Don't put medication in the eye. Don't touch the eye. It could be something that's no big deal, or it could be something that's tremendously, tremendously fragile, and you just don't know until your veterinarian gets a look at it. So one of the things your veterinarian is going to likely do in order to assess your horse's eye is give them some sedation. And the reason that sedation is really, really important for an eye exam is because eye injuries hurt. They hurt really bad. There's more nerve endings on the surface of your eye than there are anywhere else in your whole body. And I do mean anywhere else in your whole body. So it's a really sensitive area, and the pain that results from eye injuries is really intense. So horses, I think, rightfully can be really resentful of having those painful eyes manipulated. So giving them some sedation makes it easier for the horse and makes it safer for the veterinarian to get a complete examination. The other thing that they may do is do a little local nerve block to help numb the muscles that make the eyelid squint. And again, that just makes it easier for your veterinarian to see what's going on in there and not put any excessive pressure on the eye. The kind of tests that they may do will then depend on what they see on their exam. Certainly putting some fluorescein stain into the eye is a very routine part of the eye exam. Fluorescein helps you to be able to detect if there's a scratch on the surface of the eye, otherwise known as a corneal ulcer. Your veterinarian may assess the pressure inside the eye. That's a way of diagnosing glaucoma. And may use some different instruments for examining both the front part and the back part of the eye. So every eye exam is a little bit different, just like every eye injury is a little bit different.
Okay. And you mentioned not doing anything with eye. What if there's a foreign body in the eye, like your horse has been scratching against a juniper tree and there's a splinter in the eye? Still don't touch it?
Don't touch it. And the reason I say don't touch it is because you don't know how far in that splinter goes or what it's attached to. What if that splinter goes full thickness through the eye and it's actually plugging up the hole in the eye? The last thing you want to do is disrupt that. So again, even if your horse has got half a tree branch hanging out of its head, put your horse someplace quiet, keep your horse as calm as possible, but don't touch anything until your veterinarian gets there, because there is the chance that you could make it worse in your well-meaning attempt to make it better.
Okay, and let's touch on, for everyone who's listening, what the consequences could be. What could happen if you don't get your vet there immediately and get them involved in taking care of your horse's eye injury?
Well, the very worst thing that can happen to any eye is to lose vision. The whole purpose of having an eyeball is to be able to see. And so the ultimate consequence of any eye disease is vision loss. Now, vision loss isn't that big of a deal if you're, let's say, a Cocker Spaniel or a Chihuahua. Because, you know, we all got barn dogs. We love our barn dogs. You know, what does a dog need to do for a living? Well, they occasionally need to, you know, bark at the horses in the pasture, and they need to lay on the couch and get their tummy scratched and eat snacks. You know, dogs don't really need to have very good vision in order to have a really excellent quality of life. But that's a very different scenario when we start talking about a 1,200-pound horse who's a prey animal, whose first instinct is to run away from scary things. Horses with visual compromise can unintentionally hurt the people that are around them. So I personally feel that vision, oh gosh, my dog colleagues are going to hate me for saying this, but vision is really important for our horse patients. And therefore, everything we can do to preserve their vision is tantamount to that horse's safety, to that owner's safety, and to that horse's career success. So anything we do that can jeopardize their vision could be really, really long-term threatening to that horse's well-being.
And not to mention the fact... Go ahead. Sorry.
Mm-hmm, go. Well, I mean, and it can get expensive, too. You know, a not very big deal eye injury that I could help you make better for a few $100s can rapidly become a $6,000 or $8,000 take 3 months to get better kind of deal. You know, early detection is key to appropriate treatment.
And I was glad you brought that up, because I was going to say early detection is good for appropriate treatment and a smaller bill in most cases.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Michelle, we are running out of time here. I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay, yeah. And we were planning on talking about eye disease as well today, but we're out of time. So, Dr. LaBelle, would you be willing to come back and talk about eye disease in the future?
You betcha. The more I can gross Glenn out with eye stories, the better.
Hey, I got to tell you, Michelle, Dr. LaBelle needs her own show. She's terrific.
Checks in the mail, Glenn. Checks in the mail.
All right, good. Good. Thank you, Dr. LaBelle.
Okay.
And Michelle,
thank you guys so much for having me.
Dr. LaBelle, do you have a website, or is there any place people can find you?
You know, if people want to read more about our ophthalmology program, they can go to the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana's Veterinary Teaching Hospital site, or vetmed.illinois.edu.
Very good. And of course, Michelle can be found over at thehorse.com. Did you have any articles you wanted to mention?
We have a 15 fascinating facts about equine eyes fact sheet that we've mentioned before. Check that out. It's really, really interesting. Good stuff in there about the equine eye.
Very good. Well, thank you both. We appreciate you being on. And we'll have you, we'll do part two here very shortly.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Bye, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, guys.
I love Dr. LaBelle. She's great. She sounds just like Jackie, the girl we had on earlier in the show called in to play the wheel. She has that same cadence, everything. If you had those two in the show, nobody would be able to tell them apart.
That's true. That is true. Well, I love having her on. I love the fact that she grosses you out and she owns up to it.
You got to know, though, flavors of eye goo, that was pretty gross. That was pretty bad. All right, let's go over what's coming up on this Friday's Really Bad Ads and what you can win. We have three great prizes this week. Again, we have a gift pack from Dr. Rose's Remedies. And, of course, Dr. Rose's Remedies Skin Treatment Salve and Spray are 100% all-natural products. They're anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. You can learn more about them at drrosesremedies.com. And Leather Therapy. Leather Therapy is giving away another package of the 16-ounce saddle pad and blanket wash and rinse as a gift pack. That's a $40 value. And this is the best stuff when you have to wash heavily soiled saddle pads and blankets, anything that's got a waterproof fabric. Rain sheets can be washed in this. Anything created from high-tech textiles, you put some of the saddle pad blanket wash, and you use the rinse, and it takes away the it makes it anti-static. There's nothing worse than when you get a blanket out of the wash and it's all full of static. Well, it helps prevent the spread of skin problems and all of that. So Leather Therapy is really, really good stuff. You can find them at leathertherapy.com. And then my favorite thing to talk about is Uncle Jimmy's gift pack. And of course, Uncle Jimmy's has his hanging balls, but they also come in sugar-free with a new sugar, no sugar added, a boredom-busting horse treat like Uncle Jimmy's. So he will send you a gift pack. You never know what's going to be in it. It could be anything, but you can find all of Uncle Jimmy's terrific products at uncle-jimmy's.com. And that's it. That's what's coming up on Really Bad Ads. Get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com by the end of the day on Thursday. And Jamie should be here, barring any more frequent contractions.
Yes. You know what? I hope I'm not here. I hope I'm not here and I'm done with this whole thing and it's over with and you're not going to post pictures of me looking like I'm going to tip over and fall down the stairs. So probably they'll all be here.
Yeah, well, if you're not, we'll be happy for you. We'll be happy that you're getting this over with.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But I'll probably be here because, you know, he's going to drag this out forever.
He's a boy. That's what happens.
Spay, neuter, and yell, you guys. Have a great day.
All right, we'll see you all Friday. Wear your helmets.